Welcome to episode 31 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pertap, and Aaron Catano-Saez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids, just like you. Last time, our favorite couriers managed to make their way to the tallest tower in Teshirt, but made the worrisome discovery that this tower happens to belong to the Red Feather Syndicate. Now, as they infiltrate the Red Feather's fancy party to reach the top of the tower, they must avoid being caught. But what they don't realize is that they're already being watched, and time is running out. Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly!
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride, singing way, hey, ho. But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride, singing way, hey, ho. I've never been much for the pistol or blade, singing way, hey, ho. For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade, singing way, hey, ho. My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time, singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey.
In the great city of Teshirt, there is a place located at the top of the city called the Spire District. It is called this because there are many towers built of rough stone that inhabit this space. All the towers are different, with different carvings and different color compositions. And among these towers, there is one in particular, the tallest, I might add, that is festooned in the colors and insignias of the Red Feather Syndicate. Anyone who has anything to do with anything important in the city makes an appearance here. And tonight, there is a fabulous party, an elegant affair for the rich and powerful to bask in the light of their self-congratulatory glory. The tower has many rooms, some big, some not so big, but all are elegant. We find ourselves in one such room, a small one by comparison, but nevertheless, quite beautiful. And in this small and opulent room stands one Phileas Youngblood, cousin to the Youngblood siblings Remington and Olivia, and the current privateer captain of not one, but two ships in the mighty fleet of the Youngblood family. Some could call him an admiral, but really only Phileas does that. Phileas is an immaculate-looking man in his mid-20s. His bleach-blonde hair and goatee styled ever so perfectly, even if his dark roots are beginning to show. He has a wiry but strong frame, hidden as of now under an impressive ensemble of gold and purple, dressed for the party that mingles softly in the room adjacent to this one. All the important Red Feathers will be here tonight, and Phileas would not dream of missing such a chance to rub shoulders with them. He fiddles with the rakish dishevelment of his hair and straightens his fur-lined coat of royal purple. He preens in the face of three full-length mirrors, winking at himself when... Oh, dash it all. Who is it?
Hello. A bigger pardon, sir.
Yes, Eustace.
Yes.
What is it?
Sir, terribly sorry to interrupt.
Yes, as you can see, Eustace, I'm preening.
Very busy, sir. Well done.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Terribly sorry to interrupt, what as I said.
Yes.
It's just something has happened that I thought maybe you'd like to know.
Will it take much time? I'm in a bit of a rush.
You know, I'm sure you are, sir. I know the party awaits. But before you head on to that event, I thought you should know, there's been a bit of a...
Hold on, Eustace. Will this require me not to preen?
I daren't make that call for you, sir.
Ah, yes, then I shall continue. And we see Phileas continue to preen himself in the three mirrors.
Very good, sir. As I said, terribly sorry to interrupt, there has been a bit of a burgling.
Oh, yes?
Indeed.
Go on.
Well, you see, I've just received word, sir, that the master ledger from the regulator has, in fact, been burgled.
I beg your pardon.
I know.
No. Rather, what do you mean? What do you mean burgled?
Well, I would say, normally I would say has gone missing, but of course that's not the case. There is someone who is, in fact, the burglar of said master ledger.
Are you telling me someone has broken into the regulator?
Yes.
And stolen the master ledger from the Red Feathers?
Yes, quite, sir.
Could you do? Tell me, man. And he runs over. Do go on.
All I've heard is that the master ledger from the regulator has been burgled by an individual. We are not sure exactly who it is. They were wearing a mask, of course. And
It's a very tedious, Eustace. Do you know that?
I'm terribly sorry, sir. My mother said the same thing.
Yes, of course.
All I know is that the Red Feathers are currently in pursuit of three... He sort of like looks down at his note card. Children? Three children?
Children?
Indeed.
Are you saying children burgled the regulator?
Well, I couldn't make that call for you, sir, no.
Could you substantiate any of this? Is this not a horrible prank?
Oh, no, of course not, sir. My pranks are horrible, agreeably, sir, but they are never quite so involved as this.
Go on.
As I have said, the master ledger from the regulator has been removed by an individual in a mask.
You said that three times, Eustace.
And all I know is that currently the Red Feathers are in pursuit of three children.
And what do these children look like? Are they just ragamuffin children off the streets?
He checks his notes. They are... one of them, it seems, has red hair. Two of them have dark hair. And... that's all I have, really.
You've named most children in the city.
Well, but they do not appear to be homeless or orphaned, and they do not appear to be local.
That's a bit different then, isn't it?
It is, aye.
And what has good cousin Olivia done? She is in the city at the moment, and has she done anything?
That's the thing, sir. She hasn't.
Are you telling me that Olivia doesn't know this yet?
Sir, I do not know if Olivia knows, but what I do know is that she has made no move.
Oh, by the lumens. This is very good, Eustace.
Yes.
This is very good.
Yes.
Eustace?
Yes.
We must find these children immediately.
Yes.
We will take the ledger from them.
Yes.
And then we shall present it to Olivia.
Yes.
And she will... Oh, goody me. She might actually name me Admiral for... Finally. Oh, can you imagine it? Smashing.
So would she do that? Aren't you just a cousin?
Yes, Eustace, I am a cousin.
I could not remember, sir. You wear the Youngblood name so well, sir, I did forget.
Oh, okay, merci. No. You know Eustace, my father. My father's the brother of their father, yes?
Yes, it is a tangled web we weave, sir.
Anyway, all right. No. We must be... Swift.
Yes.
Swift, Eustace.
Yes.
In what we must do here.
What is it we are to do, sir?
Where are the men?
Which men, sir?
The crews. The crews of my ships. The Silver Spoon and the Star Runner. Where are they?
Sir, I imagine they are where you left them.
Okay, this is what I need you to do, Eustace.
Yes.
I need you to gather up as many of those men...
Indeed, sir.
...that are here, because I've left a contingent of them. I want you to bring them to the ballroom. We shall begin the search immediately. I want you to send word to the Star Runner and also to the Silver Spoon to begin sweeps of the city to look for them.
I shall do that immediately, sir.
Excellent.
Is there anything else, sir?
How do I look?
Sir, you look like an admiral.
I know. Come, Eustace, let us go.
Yes, let us go, sir.
And we see Eustace and Phileas head out the door and into the party. And the first thing that happens is they step out and they look over the party. And immediately we see three children that are not from this city. Kieran, June, and Cece, you have just walked in to the most lavish and opulent room you've probably seen in your entire lives. There is a giant chandelier. The entire room is draped in red silks, and the insignia of the Red Feather Syndicate is plastered on these giant silk drapings in white. There is gold filigree on the walls and a giant staircase that leads to probably another part of this party. There are people everywhere, dressed in immaculate suits and gowns. Everyone has jewelry. Everyone sparkles like the sun on the sea. You step into this party and kind of step to the side and take it all in.
So this is unexpected.
Yes. They're like, rich, I guess?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
If this is what rich is, this looks kind of terrible.
Yeah, they don't really look like they're having a good time.
No, it's all glittery and gaudy and like, oh, look at me, I'm covered in gold. And like, whatever, I used to be covered in moss.
I want everything. I want.
Oh no, Kieran.
Oh no.
Cece, we need to make sure that Kieran stays with us. But are you good with that, Kieran?
Kieran, what is the thing you see immediately? Like, what is the thing that jumps out to you?
I think someone is walking by and they're wearing this like just ridiculous necklace. It's just jewel encrusted, every inch of it. But the sort of centerpiece of it is just it's this giant ruby. It's just huge and it's sparkling. And I think like Kieran sees this person pass in front of them. And that's kind of what their vision is tracking to now. That's it.
And we see this person walk by in this, like you said, it's a beautiful, immaculate dress. It's got all of these subtle details into it. It's made of silk. It's brocade. It's got tiny little details all the way like around the hems and into like this big wig that she has on. June, what is the design of the wig? Like, it's ostentatious and amazing. What is it?
So like the middle of the wig is hollowed out and there's a little swing, and oh, sitting on the swing is is like a fake bird.
Yes.
With a little hat on.
And it moves back and forth with every step that she takes.
It's terrifying.
It's a fake bird made of real bird feathers.
Yes.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah.
And we see this woman walk by as she heads further into the party. There's no dancing and there's no like tables that people are sitting at. People are just kind of milling about the room. There is in the middle of the room a dais, and on it there's a 12-person orchestra that is slowly rotating in the middle of the room as they play this really slow, somber, sad, but very eloquent, beautiful music that kind of wafts through everything. As you guys are standing there, kind of taking in everything, the service door that you have come in opens slightly, and you can see that there's like a guard like looking in to see what's going on in the party.
We gotta move. We gotta move.
Okay.
We gotta blend.
I think
we gotta meld.
Cece and June sort of loop arms with Kieran. And steer gently through the crowd, like kind of weaving their way around the perimeter, but like kind of spiraling from the perimeter into the crowd through the room, so that it's not obvious that we're staying to the wall or anything like that.
So this is what I want you guys to do. I want each of you to choose either a distinction or an attribute. It doesn't really matter. Each choose one and then roll that dice, and that'll be your three dice to roll for this roll to see how well you blend in.
So you said a distinction?
Either a distinction or an attribute between all of you.
My distinction is going to be I can carry that for you.
Okay.
That's Mine's going to be always looking out for the little guy, which is a D8.
I'm going to use identity, my attribute, my sense of self.
Excellent. I need all of you to roll and tell me what that number is.
Just that one die?
Just that one die.
I rolled a five.
Five? What'd you get, Palumi?
Two.
Two.
Eight.
An eight?
Oh.
So 13 total.
Yeah.
This guard rolled a nine. So how do the three of you blend into this room?
I think one of the things that June starts to do, with her long legs, her long stride, is she starts to pick up the beat of the music and uses that to kind of move at the same pace that the other people in the room are moving at, so mm-hmm. that they don't look like they're moving faster or slower, and like draws the eye.
I think Kieran is kind of just on a cloud right now, so it's very easy for them to be led. It's just there's so much to see, as every new direction that they're being pulled in is like, sure, we'll go this way. I don't mind.
I imagine, Kieran, you guys get like two steps and Kieran like picks up their feet and just is like dangling in between the two of them as you guys are walking. How about you, see, how do you help?
I am blending in with the locals. So there is an enormous birthday cake, cupcake dress floating across the room. And I am going to match this fair individual's stride and hide behind the enormous, ridiculous bustle, all while doing that kind of face that you know I'm doing right now.
Beautiful. So we see the three of you kind of move further into this room, and the camera pans backwards, and there are two guards that kind of come into the room a little like sheepishly as they kind of look around, and they are followed by a third, and the three of them kind of confer with each other before they break their huddle and begin to move through the room, kind of looking for you guys.
Remind me, we have to, book kid who's afraid to leave his book. He told us to, get to the top of the tower.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm.
And so we're close to the top of the tower, I think, but we're not there yet.
Yeah. Is there another staircase in here? What is my spot check? What does my sight beyond sight give me?
So you bring the sword up and, look through.
And,
anyway, Cece, you look around, and the thing, I'm not gonna have you roll for it because it's one of the
just predominant
things in the room. There's this big staircase that leads up to like another floor,
the veranda,
and there is obviously a part of the party is happening up there as well. This seems to be like a mingle room of some kind, but you're not sure. Like it's just this opulent staircase kind of leads up to another spot.
Do we make a beeline for it? Or do we have to like coordinate? Because we're not all together, are we?
I thought we had looped arms with Kieran.
We're looped arm in arm. You're right.
Yeah. It's like that. There's a moment, isn't there, in The Wizard of Oz where two people pick up the cowardly lion. It's the cowardly lion, isn't it? And he's doing the little like dangly
little feet
and
kicks.
They turn him around. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing. If we're all okay with that.
Yeah, so we start Wizard of Oz skipping up the stairs with, is Kieran in the middle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kieran's doing the dangly feet.
So I think we're using the music as cover. Cece's obviously making the same face as all of the rich people around her. And June is like, just like eagle-eyed checking everything as they go to make sure that like they're not drawing attention. But we're going to make our way towards that staircase. Gotta.
Get out of here. Hello, couriers, and welcome to the Midroll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We'd love to express our boundless gratitude to a few of our Kickstarter backers for their generous support of Season 2. Anne Eddy, thank you. Sydney Whittington, thank you. Aminoids, thank you. Sean Naughton, thank you. Emily Saf Laris, thank you. Ryan Bolter, thank you so much. Eric Simon, thank you so much. Geneva Langland, thank you so much. Emily Roberts and Maddie Lane, thank you so much. Mara Leiden, thanks. We truly could not have done this without each and every one of you, and we're so happy to have you part of our crew. Speaking of Kickstarter rewards, the CC's Magic Candles have shipped. If you haven't received yours yet, keep your eyes out as they should be arriving in the mail soon. We are so pleased that we were able to collaborate with Tammy at Mythic Low Candles on this project. She really did a phenomenal job. Check out her shop, Mythic Glow Candles, on Etsy for more magical scents inspired by your favorite fandoms like Animal Crossing, The Witcher, Hades, Lord of the Rings, and many, many more. Also, this episode marks the very first Dear Red Audryn of Season 2. Stick around to the end of the episode to listen and enjoy. Thanks to everyone who backed at that level and higher, we should have them for the rest of the season, and we can't wait to read them all on the show. And lastly, we hope that you're taking good care of yourselves, couriers. We know it's been stressful out there lately, and folks are having a difficult time with lots of real-world challenges. We want you to know that we care, and we hope that you're doing whatever you can to take care of yourselves and one another during this difficult time. Times are tough, but good things are ahead, and we know that we can make it together. So right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight. And with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
So as you guys go. Heads begin to turn and look at you guys as you see men take fans and put them over their faces and like speak to people around them. Women like scoot away from you guys and like pull their dresses as your presence begins to be noticed. Rude. In the party.
Well, I dreadfully sorry to be to come detected, but we must simply head to the mingling room.
Everyone kind of looks. There's a person next to you that, as you say that, that you make eye contact with. And this man in this beautiful, like, peacock blue coat, who also has a very high wig, like a pompadour that reaches like a foot off their head, looks at you and goes,
that way, yeah.
And he kind of points that way, but like doesn't know what to do, and just gives you his drink.
a refill. Thank you.
Oh, we look like servants.
Oh.
Okay.
Just go with it.
Righty-ho. Refreshments inbound. Hodge and podge and bippin' and bops.
We like... now it's like a kite string where like June is first, Kieran is in the middle, and Cece is like waving a hanky at the end of the chain.
I have my luminary deck fanned out in my hand, and I've made it a little fan that I'm waving. It's so hot in here. Dreadful temperature control. Somebody better put the fantasy AC on.
And so now we're booking it up the stairs. I
mean. Yeah.
Go.
Kieran.
Yes.
What else do you see that catches your eye?
So I think, having lost the ruby in the crowd, you know, everything is very sparkling and shining. I think Karen sees like just the most ridiculous cascade pearl earrings. There's like several strings of pearls hanging off of this man's ears. And it's like, it's so long that it's kind of like flowing down to past his shoulders, like kind of over his chest. And it's this, it has this effect of like looking like a frozen waterfall almost. Like that's kind of the way the pearls have been strung up on whatever it is that they're strung up on.
Oh gosh.
Steal it. Karen wants to.
You see it, Karen. I mean, like I said, this room is full of treasure.
I kind of want to see if they can weasel out of this daisy chain that they're in.
I think it's easy enough. I mean, you just kind of like your arms and put your feet down.
I'm gonna go cause some mischief.
Okay, so the two of you watch as Kieran puts their feet down and kind of ducks under your arms.
Kieran, no.
Oh no. Oh, touch nothing but the lamp, Kieran. Stop.
Kieran disappears into the group of people that's at the bottom of these stairs that we're trying to go up.
Oh, no.
Because you guys have just reached the stairs.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Oh, no.
I'm going to find Ruby Lady.
Kieran's got the book, right?
Yes.
Oh, no, the merch. He's got the merch.
Kieran's got the book.
Well, June?
Yeah.
We gotta help Kieran steal that thing because it's
what?
The only way.
We need to get Kieran out of here. We need to get Kieran and go to the roof and we'll take it from there. Okay. No one is stealing anything. We didn't even steal this book. Okay. We are just holding the book for the person who stole it.
All right. But level with me here.
Yeah.
Like these people are like red feathers. They're bad.
Yeah, they are.
And
yeah.
Like wouldn't stealing from them be righting a wrong and doing a mercy if we sell it?
I would like to hire Cece as my lawyer for the inevitable
court case.
And
look how happy it makes Kieran.
Cece,
do you really want to take that from them? Cece, Mom and Dad are talking right now.
Cece, I don't think technically that's but it's making my brain
hesitation
hurt.
Hesitation
in
it's
your making
voice,
my
June.
Brain hurt a little bit.
I understand.
No. Do you want to go to prison? They have prisons. Red feathers have prisons. We don't even have that in Thornvale. Do you know what a prison is?
Now, I'm not sure. I think it's some kind of resort or something, but
no,
it's like a really low rated.
They put you in a room with no windows and no doors.
In one of your past adventures, in the two stops that we have not covered yet, but we pulled luminaries for, in one of them, you were press ganged by red feathers and put into a red feather cell.
Mm.
What was that like?
It was the worst experience of my life. It smelled really bad. It smelled like one and two. And it was hot. It was humid. No one to talk to. And I would definitely rate it a 1 out of 10 experience.
So that memory floods into your brain. And you know that Captain Dennison, like he did that time, is not coming for you this time.
Cece starts dripping with sweat. At the mention of a Red Feather prison, Cece is like drenched and is like just goes out loud but very quietly. Nope! Okay, we're gonna go get him. Let's go pick up the kid.
Nope, not doing that again.
Nope.
So they like very quickly hurry back through the crowd looking for Kieran.
Like raptors in the long grass.
Yes.
We see you guys move into this this field of dresses and party goers. Kieran, who are you stalking? What is happening?
So I think Kieran tries to find the Ruby Lady, can't find her, sees that there's like benches kind of closer to the walls near the windows, and sees, you know, people are sitting there having conversations, talking. And I think there's this moment where they pause and then they immediately switch to beeline for those benches and just sits on one next to somebody. And I'm going to try and wrist lift them. Like lift something off of their wrist if I can. I'm trying to pickpocket someone is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Out of character. Yeah.
Out of character. Heck yeah.
Beautiful.
In character.
All right.
Also, heck yeah.
Also, heck yeah.
All right. So what I'm going to need you to do is I need you to gather up a pool, 3 dice, and I will gather up 1 for this person.
Get him, Kieran.
So distinction, attribute, and then wild card, right?
Whatever you want to put there.
You know what? I'm going to make it a dangerous curiosity thing just because there's shinies here. Clever is going to be how I do this. And then, I have a specialty and it's filching.
Yeah, you do.
Oh.
So it's going to be a D6. Oh boy. A 5, a 3, and a 7. So 15.
All right. 15.
Kieran's rolling dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. You are able to sit down next to this person, and the person kind of looks at you as you sit and immediately turns a little bit away from you. And they rudely like hold their nose and kind of lean away from you and begin to talk to the person next to them, shooting glances at you. But you, with a 15, beautifully are able to lift something off their wrist.
I think I know what this looks like.
Tell me.
I think, you know, this person turns to Kieran and they smile very mildly. And then kind of fake a coughing fit so that the focus is kind of on their face and on their arm. But with their other hand is going to just unlatch whatever bracelet they're wearing and just kind of ball it up in their fist.
So you go on a coughing fit. And the person kind of looks over at you quickly, and their wrist like turns in that direction. And in that split second, you're able to reach out, take what's off their wrist and put it like into your sleeve.
I think it's a very, you know, comparatively simple kind of diamond bracelet, but it's a diamond bracelet and I'm 13.
Beautiful. And you do. And like you have this diamond bracelet. It literally feels like it's burning a hole in your sleeve as you now have it.
You know, once it's kind of safely secured in Kieran's sleeve, they just get up and they head back towards the stairs.
I've bargained with madmen who claim to be kings. Sing it way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Sing it way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain, singing way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name, singing way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive, be a voice to the hopeless and help those in need, and to never be thankful for what you've received, singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey.
Bottom of the Red Audrin, there is the mail room. And there, off to the side, in a small room, is the mail sorting room, where the three of you spend a lot of your time. Cece, Kieran, and June, what are you guys doing in this little tiny sorting room?
Canonically, as you know, last time, previously, in the mail room, we had, like, separated the little sorting room out into, like, quadrants or whatever the version of a quadrant is, that there's three of them.
Oh, yeah.
And we each had like our own little cardboard box office set up.
Yes, we definitely did.
We definitely do that. I think there's some flyers up from places we've been so far to sort of indicate this is like when you decorate your cubicle with pictures from your vacation, except we've put up flyers from like Otterbox and the other places we've been on the route so far. Yeah, so we're in our little offices.
You know, all right.
Cubicle life. It's corporate life. It's not pretty, but it's a living, you know. You gotta do what you gotta do.
There's no water cooler, but I think there's a drawing of a water cooler
that we talk around, that we lean on and then we talk. But only there.
I love it because this room is so small. It's
everything is miniature. Everything is smaller than it.
Kid-sized. Yeah. It's kids.
It's
yeah. Like play school.
It's a water cooler that's nailed to the floor.
Yeah.
This is where the water cooler goes.
And as you guys are sitting in this tiny mail room, this tiny little sorting room, there's a... at the door.
Who is it?
Come in.
Gotta check who it is first.
Oh, are we doing passwords?
Which is it? Do you want me to come in? Or
declare yourself.
You have to declare yourself.
It's Bran.
It's probably Bran. Sounds like Bran.
Tell us something that only the real Bran would know.
Ooh, that's a really good password.
I will dangle you off the end of the ship, Cece.
That's not true.
The correct response was, I am Bran, the sheep boy, but enter.
We'll allow it.
And the door opens, and Bran goes, I'm really sorry. I really wouldn't dangle you off the end of the ship.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bran, that's not really your thing.
I'm sorry. I just had an argument. I'm kind of...
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's not a big deal.
Big Bran?
It's just not important. It's just...
It is to me.
It's
yeah,
just,
man, we're your friends. What's up?
I was arguing with Fenton.
Oh.
What'd she do now?
What, Fenton or me?
Yeah, Fenton.
Well, look, I don't want to talk about it. I'm arguing with Fenton right now. It's a big thing. It's about Audrey and prom. It's whatever.
But, oh.
I have a letter here for you guys if you want to read it or not.
Oh. Okay. Thanks.
And you see him take out of his coat, there's a small little envelope that says Kieran, June, and Cece on it.
Oh. Well, gee
thanks
whiz.
For bringing this over. Yeah.
Fan mail for the team. How about it?
Well, if there's anything we can do for you, Bran, just
if there's
know.
Anything you can do, I'll let you know. Don't worry. And you see him kind of like scoot his way into the room a little bit. It's very close.
Yeah.
And so he like reaches over and kind of puts it on one of your guys' little makeshift little desks that
Kieran,
you guys have put in here.
I think scurries over and shifts a couple of very large stacks of paper and mail.
Thank you. Do you want me to? I was gonna read it, but you know, I don't feel like reading it right now. I'm sorry,
don't
guys.
Don't read it too loud, because then I think everything's gonna go flying all over the place. Also, if you have to sneeze, maybe sneeze into the hallway. But otherwise,
I don't know. Maybe reading will help. I don't.
Yeah, it'll help.
Go ahead and read it, Bran. You're good at reading.
And we see him kind of prop himself like in a corner as he shuts the door in this tiny room, and he opens the letter.
Ooh, sound effects.
And,
it's called Foley, CC.
Let's see. Hi, squad. I captain a small ship with a crew of 25, 15 to 18-year-old hands. Our fleet's purpose is to train these kids to be ready for whatever life will throw at them. On my ship, the focus is to train natural and physical sciences. What are the best lessons you've learned throughout your travels, and what helped you learn them? Mr. D of the Thunderstorm of the Scholastic Fleet.
So what's the most important thing we've learned in our adventures?
I guess. Learned throughout your travels. Your best lesson, I guess.
Oh, I have one.
Oh, yeah?
We're still learning things.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
We're always learning things. Well, I am, I feel like. Like, the other day I figured out that, you're supposed to do a specific type of knot when you're in the rigging, but then if you're down by the, rail on the deck, you have to do a different type. I didn't know that.
So I think the thing that I've learned, the most important thing for me is, from all, the older people on the ship, it's that you have to be careful putting stuff off that you, want to do and want to be.
Ew.
Like, Captain Dennison would always, say to the older kids, you got to be careful because saying that one of these days will eventually be yesterday and then everything is gone. And so, I don't want to be that person who's, older and, one day I'll be a legendary ship captain. One day I'll learn my Lumen lore. One day I'll, command a fleet of Lumens. But I want to do that now. And so I'm going to do that now instead of putting it off till later. I think that's the most important thing I've learned is, not being like those older kids who are kind of messing up by not taking life by the horns and playing your electric guitar every day.
It's really deep. By the way, that's a really good Captain Dennison, by the way.
I was going to say, you've been practicing, right?
That was really good.
Every day.
No, that was bad. Hold on. Cece clears her throat. She backs herself into the corner of the room and takes a wide DBZ stance and says,
Cece, Kieran.
We see Bran just nodding. Yeah, it's really good.
But yeah,
false.
That.
He never calls me June. He only calls me Hymnal. You know
nah,
that.
Ah, dang it. That's why. See, that's why it's a work in progress. Every day I'm grinding, though.
Yeah, it is getting better.
How about you? How about you, June?
I guess one of the things that I've learned recently is that, things that may seem totally insurmountable or things that might seem they're never ever going to be any different, that they're always going to be the same people or situations or whatever, that sometimes that's not true. Sometimes things do change, and sometimes people are different. Because like you said, Kieran, they learn things. They change their minds about stuff, and they learn things, and they grow. And so even though a situation, or, you know, maybe like a relationship or whatever with someone could feel bad or difficult or whatever, that there's no telling what the future might hold. And if everybody does what Cece is saying and, you know, takes action and does stuff instead of putting it off, then things can change and people can be different and things could get better.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. It depends, though, like, because sometimes I feel like they really, really can't. But if they can't, I guess maybe what I mean is it's not that they can't change, it's that they don't change. So sometimes things don't change, but that doesn't mean you can't try.
Dang.
Yeah.
And that's why that's why you always stay learning. It's because if you're always learning, like with Kieran said, if you're always learning, you're always ready. And if you don't have to, if you stay ready, then you don't have to get ready. If you stay learning, you don't have to get learning. Wow. This has been a powerful moment for me.
It's like you always used to say in Kid Tang CC, if you're constantly warming up, you're never cooled down.
Oh, yeah. I totally remember that, Jim.
That's really good. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of times that I have wisdom that's just lost to the wind because it's just, you know, the things that I say and the power that I hold, it's like a sculpture made of snow. You know, unless you were there to see it, it just fades away.
You're so full of it that you forget about it.
Oh, you know, sometimes I do feel like I'm full of it. And
Why are you laughing,
exactly.
Dude?
That's, what did you mean? You mean wisdom too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I meant wisdom.
I thought you meant power.
Wisdom right, is guys. Power, June.
I think I'm going to go. This has been really good, though. Thank you.
Well, now,
before you go, Bran, Cece says, anything that Fenton Eves did to upset you cannot be undone by friendship, power, and wisdom. Fenton can be a total mecha turd sometimes. And that is okay. Has nothing to do with you. That's her journey. Yeah. I'll see you at Aldrin prom. She gives him a little slap, like the small slap on the cheek.
And Bran, like, he gets really contemplative as you say this, and he turns around and he's like, yeah. Thanks, guys. And he walks out the door.
Thanks, Bran.
And shuts
Thanks,
it.
Bran.
Dang.
Is he okay? Do we think he's okay? He seemed really out of it.
Yeah.
Fenton will do that to a person.
You're telling me.
Right?
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano-Saez, who can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano-Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatano-Saez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertap, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertap.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spinoff of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists, and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Character Creation Cast. Character Creation Cast is a discussion podcast with Amelia Antrim and Ryan Bolter, where they create characters in multiple RPGs with prominent guests from the gaming community. Each month, Character Creation Cast examines the character generation process in depth for a different game with new guests each series. They always take the time to reflect on the game, its design, and what their guests have to say about it. Think of it as sitting in on a great session zero every week. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way, hey, ho.